Hi, welcome to Stardust Records, a Star Wars podcast. I'm Linz, and I'm here with my co-host Savi. Before we tell y'all what we're doing here this episode, though you might already know because of the title, I thought we'd start out by noting that October 2nd was the 2-year anniversary of Stardust Records. We're 2 years old!
Woo! In our toddler years, right? Wasn't that our notably known as the Terrible Twos?
Exactly, but I think it's we're gonna be terribly awesome in our twos.
It's the terrific twos.
Yes, exactly. Terrific twos. So we're 2 years old, and we're so happy that you guys have followed along. Whether you're here from the beginning or you just joined us, we're happy to have you as our listeners, and thank you for your continued support. And with that, I'd let you know what we're doing. This episode, we are going over all of the Andor season 2 news. We have a lot, and Savi here has it meticulously cataloged, and she's gonna help us go through everything. Some of you may have already heard of this, some of you may have not. So there might be a couple things in here that you're like, oh, I didn't know that, or I missed that. So we're just gonna go over it all. And so, Savi, will you take it away for us and introduce us to the first bit of new Andor season 2 news?
Yeah, I will. I did make a little bit of a timeline just so we could follow it a little better and so the audience can follow along, but it came out pretty trickly. I guess that is a good word to describe it. It didn't all come out at once, which was nice. It was a couple of days, but D23 Brazil was last weekend, and we found out the name change. So I don't know whether to call it a name change or just like a name addition. And we found out the release date, but we'll talk about the name change first. So they added a Star Wars story to it, which I thought was super interesting. A, it's really poignant. It's a homage to Rogue One, a Star Wars story. And you know, I was thinking about it because usually the standalones in Star Wars have a Star Wars story added to it. So like Rogue One and Solo, like it's not directly connected to. So it's like a puzzle piece that fits, but it's not a part of the main puzzle, if that makes sense. So I wonder if, because a lot of people said that season one would have made a lot of sense if we didn't get season two, it still would have made sense how Cassian got to Rogue One with just season one. But season two, you know, being there is like an addition, like something more to add to it. Something that we don't really need, obviously something that we want, but it's like Solo. Solo is something that we really wanted, and frankly, not something that we really needed because we knew where Han Solo ended up. We knew how he got into the rebellion, but it was like this add-on to the main story. I don't know. Why do you think they added it?
Well, you kind of touched on this when you first started talking about it, but I feel like it's really going to be the connector piece to Rogue One. Which makes sense. Andor, a Star Wars story. Rogue One, a Star Wars story. But I think it's so beautiful that it was just Andor. Then Andor, a Star Wars story. Cassian is becoming part of the... I mean, he always was, but he and all the other players in Andor are becoming who they're going to be going into Rogue One, a Star Wars story. It's a poetic kind of thing. And I love that was the first little bit of Andor season 2 news that we got that was, you know, official, that was released recently, was just that little title edition.
Yeah,
because that just kind of set us all up, and we started getting more and more these last week or so. And yeah, I thought it was great. And it also, by saying it's a Star Wars story, you know, it's Cassian's story, but it's a Star Wars, so it's like all these other characters, which we knew from the first season, but it just kind of underlines that, yes, it's Cassian's story, and it's also all these other players, like Mon Mothma is like a big one that I'm looking forward to seeing, because this is going to be her truly see her becoming Chancellor of the Alliance, you know, where we're going to see her become that. And I think by the time that Andor is done, or the end of the season, she's going to be this. She's. I would love to see her. I mean, I'm hoping we see her in that white gown that she wears for the rest
Yeah.
of the trilogy. I would love our last shot with Mon Mothma in Andor season two to be her in that iconic white dress. It'd be so poignant. So, yeah, that's what I think
Yeah.
about that.
Yeah, I won't jump into it, but we can come back to that because there was a certain clothing that was reintroduced that weekend as well when we got all of our news. But I think it'll be really interesting to see to hear the creatives explain why they added a Star Wars story to it, because I know that in the past, when season one, before it was rolled out, they were talking about how Andor, like, yes, it was the story of Cassian, but it wasn't just the story of Cassian, it was a story of the people. So I feel like this is a way for them to call back to that. Like, it's like, yes, it's called Andor. Yes, it's about Cassian Andor and how he got to be the man that he was in Rogue One. But this is also a story about the people that aided him in that journey, I think. So I don't know. I think it's a really great addition. I think that more titles should be named, blank, a Star Wars story. But
Did they say that Skeleton Crew is Skeleton Crew a Star Wars adventure? Or is
yeah,
that.
that was on the poster that was just revealed.
Yeah. So I kind of like how they're doing that. It adds
It
a little extra flavor.
a little zhuzh.
Well, also that just big brain moment here for me. I just realized they might be adding that because they want the general public to realize that this is a Star Wars thing. Because with Andor, I mean, you could say Star Wars Andor, but it was just shortened to Andor. And I feel like if they have Andor or Star Wars story on like the posters and all of the merchandise or whatever, people will be like, oh, that's Star Wars? I didn't realize that. And then the same thing with Skeleton Crew. Skeleton Crew, what's that? Oh, it's a Star Wars adventure. So it might be a marketing. I mean, it's all marketing, but that might be one big reason, especially with those titles, because everyone knows Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know what I mean? Like, everyone knows who Boba Fett is mostly, but I think for Skeleton Crew and Andor, they might have wanted that for that reason.
I really admire the exploration of name titling. The more recent Star Wars shows have been a mixture of calling back to the prequels or the originals, but it's also been new stuff. I know that Andor is a prequel to Rogue One, but it's entirely its own thing. Cassian is in it, but we got a whole new cast of characters and a whole new look at the rebellion that I don't think that we would have gotten anywhere else on this intimately on the level. I think the closest thing was Rebels because it was about a family, but I don't know. I really admire like a Star Wars adventure. I don't know if Skeleton Crew is I honestly don't know anything about Skeleton Crew. I didn't like hear anything about it at Celebration, but that's just because I was there and like I wasn't looking at my phone or reading any articles or anything about it. But I don't know if it's only one season. So I think that's cool that if it is only one season, that it's labeled as this singular adventure that happened in the timeline of things. One small thing in the greater scheme that had like a ripple in it, but it's cool. I like this naming concept, I think.
Me too. It's
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So we also got the release date at D23 Brazil, and it's April 22nd, 2025. So we were kind of predicting an April May release date, but it's right after Star Wars Celebration Japan. So I wonder if they will pull a Kenobi and do the quote unquote premiere there. Because we got to watch two episodes at Celebration Anaheim, but I hope they make a big deal out of it.
I hope we get to watch or they debut the episodes at Celebration. That would be awesome. And then additionally, we're gonna still be in Japan for it, so we can watch it while we're there. We're right before we come home.
I know. It'll be really cool to be able to sit down and watch that. I would love to do that. Like, that would just be a really, really great opportunity.
After all the hype that we're going to experience at Celebration, whether we get to see it there or not, please be, may the odds be in our favor. But whether we see it there or not, we're still going to be together to watch it, like, which is going to be so
Yeah.
cool, and have some of our, hopefully, a couple of our buddies with us as well. So, it, and if we're watching it a second time in the hotel room on the 22nd, that would be even better.
I know. I know. Hopefully it's more than one episode. Did they do two or three episodes? They
They
did
did three.
three, yeah, because at the
I
premiere.
think. No, was it
Yes,
just two?
well, I think three, because the third one, doesn't it end with Cassian on
I forgot
the
that that's like three.
Yeah, well,
Forgot.
that's the thing. If you I was doing some math with somebody yesterday, this Cassian cosplayer that I would actually really love to have on our show. You've met him. But he said that if you add up all of season one and all of season two and Rogue One, it's the same amount of screen time as the Skywalker saga. So we get a lot of time with Cassian.
Our man Cassian.
We get him from when he is 26 years old to 32 in Rogue One.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we get him like they're living his life when his brain has just fully formed.
When his insurance goes down.
That's why he did all that he did, is because he lost his insurance.
My gosh.
I hope Ferrix has insurance. It's a mining planet.
I hope
Right?
that it should be unionized is what it should be.
Yeah, I think so. Brasso wouldn't have it any other way. But
Yeah.
hopefully they'll make a big deal out of it at Celebration in Japan. I think that Andor deserves it.
I think they will, just with how much that it they're ramping up for it. And Andor has been basically of the, Mandalorian was a big thing, but coming out of the gate as like the next show that was anticipated, I feel like Andor surprised everyone, and I think they're going to put a lot of eggs in one basket for Andor.
Yeah. The day
It's true.
after we got the story addition to the title and a release date, we woke up to so it wasn't an official trailer drop, like the Star Wars accounts didn't drop it. It was a preview of what's happening the rest of 2024 and well into 2025. So we got like the Bear season four stuff. We got couple of Marvel shows, I think. I'm not really following that stuff. And then we got a very short clip of Andor. So we can kind of go through all of the clips that they showed, but I was really surprised that there was so much Bix in it. She was like a character shown the most, right? After Cassian. So we got her like in that first clip with Willman and that unnamed character, the woman. And then we got her asking, saying that they need a pilot. We got her at the end, forgetting what she was
With the f
doing.
in the field, she was
In
in the
the,
field with the
yeah, with Willman. That's the scene I was talking about. But okay, so I guess we can just jump into the trailer, right? Or the teaser right from there. But a lot of people are saying that's Lethal, and I love that. That's a great want, but I think that it makes a lot of sense that it would be Gonji Moon. It's Willman, Bix, and then like a curly-haired gal who I think is pregnant, but I know you're not supposed to guess whether or not people are pregnant, but I'm pretty certain she is. But I also think that it would make a lot of sense to check in with them on Gonji Moon. I don't think that that setup in the last episode of season one was going to be like, oh yeah, go to Gonji Moon. And then the next time they're together, they're just together.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, but not, or yeah,
Oh,
exactly.
Cassian and Bix, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, there has to be like a bridge. I don't think we'll be there for a long time. And apparently, I didn't look into this at all. Somebody else was saying it online, but apparently they did it on a farm in England, and like they had to plant a certain plant for this scene. So
Maybe Cassian goes and picks her up. He's like, I told you I'd be back. And there he
Yeah.
is.
There was a lack of B2 and Brasso and Jezzy, but Willman and Bix being together, and Bix looks still a little frazzled. So I don't know. It could be like when we're just checking in with them. And also I feel like
Yeah.
they wouldn't show us so much of the rest of the.
Well, yeah, we didn't get any Dedra, Cyril. We didn't get
Yeah.
any of those. So it's supposed to put a little taste on our taste buds, but we're not getting the full course yet. So,
Yeah.
but I am glad that, as you said at the beginning of this, that they featured Bix so heavily, because I feel like out of all the characters that I wasn't sure, or I'm still not sure of the trajectory of, or how much of a part she's going to play. I was uncertain of it. Like I had faith in that she was going to be, still a heavy part of the show, but with how they've shown her in different locations saying the things that she says in the teaser, I feel like she's gonna be a big player, which I'm happy for.
Yeah. Also, looking at this picture, she's wearing her vest.
Oh yeah. So it
Yeah.
must, yeah.
It must be pretty soon after
Yeah.
it must be pretty soon after they escape Ferrix, but
Well, and then the other shots of her throughout the teaser, she is very much motivated. She's very motivated. She went to Gaji Moon and she's like, I want to be part of this. I want to change things because of what happened to Ferrix, because of what happened to me. That's the idea that I'm getting from her character. So it's great to see that even though we left off with her, shaken and hurt and traumatized, she's going to have hopefully a revitalization of conviction. She's not letting this get her down, basically, it doesn't seem like, which I'm glad that that's the direction they went with her character instead of her, you know what I mean? Like they could have gone a different way with that, but I'm glad that she's still on the course for
yeah,
rebellion.
I think that she's gonna have a pretty significant storyline, whether she makes it out or not. I do hope that she makes it out. I hope that it's not the end of her story, but I feel like she's gonna get a revenge arc.
Yeah, I do too.
And yeah, I hope that she gets that. I hope that she puts Dr. Gorst. I hope that she puts him in his place.
I hope she puts him in the ground.
Yeah, that's his place, the ground. It's the only way. It's the only
Yes.
way. But
I was gonna ask, so like the beginning of the one of the first clips we got, where it was like a bunch of clips together, is the stormtroopers coming down into that crowded
square, the town square.
square. Yeah. And I know that we can bring it up later. We can talk about it now, people's thoughts about what that is. Because later in the teaser, we have Cassian down in that square, it seems like, and he's battling it out. So.
So, a lot of people, I think that they're right when they guess this. A lot of people are saying that's the Gorman Massacre.
Yeah.
And that makes so much sense to me because it is a heavy part of Mon's story.
The Gorman Massacre is brought up in was brought up in the first season, or not the massacre itself, but the plight of the Gorman people is brought up by Mon in Andor season one by Mon Mothma. So it makes sense that the event that we know is going to occur, the Gorman
Yeah.
Massacre, would happen in season two because it's a defining moment for her to leave the Empire completely in defect. She
Yeah.
also references it in
And
Rebels when
rebels,
she
yeah.
yep when she's defecting, she mentions it, and so this would kind of be like the catalyst
Well,
to.
when she's defecting in Rebels, is that like immediately after the Gorman massacre?
I think as far as I remember, I feel like it was not, it must have been shortly after. Like, I don't think like a lot of time passed and then she was like, I remember the Gorman Massacre, that was terrible, and now
Yeah,
I'm defecting. Like, I feel like it was
it was pretty
just
soon.
recently.
So
Yeah. And so it's probably like in the middle or towards the last section of the, depending on how they they space out the timeline.
It would be really fascinating to see the plan of how they get Mon.
I feel like it might be the third arc then, because if we're going by years, I think the Gorman massacre or Mon's defection was a year or so before Rogue One, the events of Rogue One, I think. I'll have to look at the timeline again, but it
Yeah.
must be I don't think it's not going to be the fourth act. It's going to be either like the end of the second or like the third act, probably,
Yeah.
of the show.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. That'll be really, really interesting because then Cassian and Mon kind of joined at the same time, or like around the same
Yeah.
time.
Well, I think that could be the defining moment that kind of, because it is one of the defining moments of the rebellion when it kind of coalesced into something more significant, because Mon was like, we can't do this on our own separately anymore. We have to come together, or more of things like this are going to happen. So I am really interested to see how Cassian's faction with Luthen and his people fully integrate with whoever Mon is going to bring to the table. And then, of course, we know Mon reaches out to everyone at some point
Yeah.
and sends the message to everybody. So this is the defining moment where everybody's going to start to come together, like a fully fledged rebellion. I'm
Yeah.
really excited to see that moment, because it's a moment we've heard about. We saw the aftermath. We saw how she called everyone together. I always forget what the name of that event was called, but to see what triggers it and what leads up to that, I'm so excited. I love this Birth of the Rebellion era.
Yeah.
It's really cool because we hear about so many different factions, so many people fighting their different fights. Like you could even say, like Cal Kestis, his fight, you know, that he had going on his own, and you know, Saw and everyone else who's fighting the Bad Batch. Like we see all these singular little factions, but to see what's going to be the reason why most of them come together is going to be so cool.
Yeah, I think that this is the perfect story to do that as well. And, you know, on the topic of the rebellion, you know, we saw Yavin in the trailer, and it was no secret that, you know, Tony Gilroy has been talking about including Yavin in season two for a really long time. So we knew that was happening. But, you know, I wonder if that he says we're going to see it on a more intimate level, and we can get into where he said that a little bit later in this episode, but I don't know. I think we could see like them discovering it and finding these temples and building a base in it. And it's both really exciting and also extremely somber that Cassian was like an integral part of the rebellion to the point where he probably like pulled leaves off of the temples and, you know, dusted off things to make room for computers or whatever they're called, like comm units, and then he dies later on in Rogue One. It's a very sad thing, but I don't know, his fingerprints will always be on those things, but it's a sad thing to think about. But go ahead.
It is, and it's also I just how like just with the first season of Andor, it added so much more depth and meaning to not just Rogue One, but so much more of the rebellion in general. And I feel
Yeah.
like this season especially is gonna add so much significance to all these different elements that we've always been like, oh yeah, that's rebellion. This is the different parts, these are the different people. But it's going to be cool to see how Cassian touches their lives, or the things, the ships, the, you know, who knows? Like who knows what he's going to be influential in. And then, you know, we'll probably be having Melshi will be back, so we'll have Melshi alongside for, you know, what will he do? Like what will he help facilitate? And you know, Mon Mothma as well, and just all these characters, it's going to add so much more richness to the lore and the story itself. And I think we're going to come away with just an even greater appreciation for the rebellion.
Yeah, well, I think the really cool part about this story is that it's I feel like this word has become a dirty word over time, but you know, in light of recent events, I guess, with a lot of stuff about the election and things like that, but This is the story of the radicalization of people to the point where they make a greater rebellion. Enough people, Nemec says it, and I'm not going to quote him directly because I don't remember what he says, but it's happening in small groups all throughout the galaxy to become a bigger rebellion. So yeah, it's crazy. It like makes you want to get up and like go for a run or something like that. It just makes you feel like you can do anything, I guess. Like this
Yeah.
story is a really, really beautiful way to show that when you group up with people who have similar thoughts and views and wants and needs, like you can make an impact. So not to get heavy about it, but
No,
yeah,
but
it's a really
that's the
beautiful story.
and it's okay to get heavy about it because that's the story. Like
Yeah.
we gotta be realistic with ourselves. Like this is a very important story to be told, not just as a part of the Star Wars fabric, but like this is the truth of what's happening in this story is yes, there's a rebellion. Yes, there's a reason why they're rebelling, and it makes sense and it's needed. And I think it's going to resonate with so many people. It already resonated with so many people. I love the fact that it's Andor has a chance to get into the reasons why, because it's like, oh yeah, the Empire's bad. We're the rebellion, we're good, we're gonna go against them. Like that's what we get in episode 4, 5, 6. And they do show us why. I mean, like the one of the first things we see is Vader slaughtering a bunch of people, and then Luke's aunt and uncle are burned to a crisp. Like that sets a tone. But this will show what led up to so many people in a vast galaxy deciding they'd had enough and they needed to reach out for each other to tackle this evil. So yeah, like you're saying, I think that this is such an important story, and I think that it's gonna be quite on the nose for a lot of people, and a lot of people are gonna resonate with it and make comparisons to our own state in real life, And I think that's really great because we need stories like that. And there are stories like that out there outside of the Star Wars franchise, but I think it will reach more people within the Star Wars franchise, because so many people are like, oh, Star Wars, I'm gonna watch it. And then they get to experience something that they might not have searched out before, but because it's got Star Wars on it, they're gonna see it and it's gonna affect them. And I like that we're getting to have that. We get to have that with Star Wars.
It's a really poignant, we say that word a lot, but it's a really poignant thing. And I think that we're really lucky. I don't know. I feel lucky as somebody who loved Rogue One, when it first dropped, and loving Cassian for multiple reasons and for being interested in who he was before Rogue One. So I it's almost like I feel lucky. And I don't know if you feel this way, that this is the character that they're telling this story through.
Yeah.
It's like it could have been anyone. They could have made somebody up, and the Andor show could have been just like a spy versus spy thing with K2, or it could have been nothing, but it's this crazy good show that people claim to not be quote unquote woke, but it has the most realistic things that people go through every day. And I don't know, I think that'll be really heavy in
I
a
mean, the
great
whole
way.
sh exactly. I mean, the whole show is about the people waking up. So like, and rising up. Like, I don't know how much more clear you can
Cool.
get there.
I and the tagline that they've been using for this season is a rebellion rises, and the first season it was a rebel rises. So I know it's I when I saw that it was a rebellion rises, I was like, damn. I was like, man, these people know how to write a tagline. But
Yeah.
before we keep talking, I mean, we could talk about this all day. Obviously, it's why we started our podcast, but we also got a first look at Cassian's bestie K2SO.
We did. We did. And he's looking good. Is he on
Yeah, he
Coruscant?
doesn't look as rough. It does look like Coruscant. Okay, so I have two predictions, and I'm okay with them being wrong. That's why we have predictions. But I think that in that moment, either K2 is infiltrating and he's already under Cassian's reprogramming, and like Cassian is somewhere else and he's talking to K2 the whole time, and it's very reminiscent of Scarif, where like Cassian is talking to K2 while K2's doing all the hard labor. But could, that's like a callback. Wait, no, never mind. Okay. Or Cassian is infiltrating the ISB base, which I think is less plausible because everyone knows what he looks like there on Coruscant, and Cassian then reprograms K2 to like get in and out of base, which I think is a callback to the comic that was released. So it wouldn't be a direct copy, but it would be a callback. But I think the first one is more possible, but I don't know. It'd be funny if he
Well,
got it off
we could
Coruscant.
get both. We could get both in a sense. We could have Cassian
Yeah.
getting a hold of a security droid somewhere else and reprogramming him, like you're saying, which would be the callback to the comic. And then we have him send him on a mission into the ISB
Yeah.
base on Coruscant. So we could have both in a sense. And the still could be, or the shot we see of him on Coruscant could be the infiltration, but maybe we'll get him. I'm sure, I feel really confident that we're going to have a Cassian reprogramming K2
Oh yeah,
moment.
100%, yeah.
But also, I was like, wouldn't I?
It could
Wouldn't it be
also.
interesting if Bix is the one to reprogram K2?
Yeah, that's a cool
But
thought.
I don't
That's a
know.
good
I don't
thought.
know. Like, I could see Cassian being the one to get a hold of K2, be the one that gets him, and then not just him alone, but him and somebody else being the one to reprogram K2.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe
It's
not.
like
Who knows?
Brasso and Cassian are holding K2, and Bix is the
Yeah.
one to reprogram him or something.
Because I
Yeah,
was just wondering, like, would Cassian know how to reprogram K2? Who might know better than Cassian? Maybe Bix, because she's so handy. She's so good at being a
yeah.
mechanic.
A
So maybe
diva.
she would know better. So, and I have a feeling that Cassian and Bix will be interacting at some point. So, like,
Oh yeah.
that could be a reason. Who knows?
I
She'd be like,
know.
Bix, I'm here for you because I have a droid
Yeah.
you need to program. She's like, you don't call, you don't write, and then you come to me with this droid.
That sounds like Cassian. That doesn't sound out of character for him. I feel like regardless of how radicalized Cassian gets, like he's still her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he's still always gonna go to her. But yeah, I don't know. I maybe they'll retcon that comic. I hate that word, but a retcon. I think it's a bad word because it's not really retconning. It's just like it was never part of the bigger story anyways. It was just something to be like, "Hey, Rogue One is done, but you don't have to see the end of Cassian. So here's this," but I don't
A
know.
reinvention.
There we go.
Reinvention of the origin story.
Fits a story about a droid reinvention.
Yeah. Well, okay, did we kind of cover this too? Cassian and seems like Cassian and Bix are gonna be something to do with a TIE interceptor.
No, that was definitely the next thing on our timeline, but I don't know if this is connected, but there's a scene way towards the beginning. I think it's like the second clip where Bix says, "We need a pilot." And the person that she's talking to is wearing red, which is then what her and Cassian are wearing. Red. And
Yeah. Well, and it's also interesting because the very next scene shows somebody in a fighter pilot suit. But you can't see the top half of them, or you can't see
he's
their head.
pressing a button, yeah.
And he's like touching something, and then this interceptor is powering up, and then Cassian is in the interceptor. So I think that might be him all the way through. Could be. And then I guess they blast open the doors and they're gonna take off. I don't know.
Yeah,
But it
I don't know
definitely
either.
seems like they're stealing it.
Well, in that scene where they're blast, it's the just the TIE interceptor in the hangar and then the fire around the door. It looks like there's only one person in there. And it looks, I don't know who it looks like. It's very blurry, but it looks like Cassian to me, but there could be somebody behind him, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to like slow down this clip to see if there's anything else changing in here. I mean,
There really
not
wasn't
really.
anything in high quality that I could find, but
Yeah. And then I can't tell. It seems like maybe. So then it's Cassian being like, I'm thinking like a soldier or something.
oh yeah, okay, that outfit was at Celebration, so I did see that one as a trailer at the trailer showing or whatever, but it was cool to see that outfit because I wonder where that would be. And that was such a heavy line. What Luthen
Yeah.
responds with as well. You have to think
Yeah.
like a leader. Because he was a leader in
Yeah.
Rogue One.
I'm it implies to me that very short exchange implies to me that and how fired up Cassian is. I'm wondering if something goes wrong or something goes kind of sideways and he's defending himself like I'm thinking like a soldier like I did this because I'm thinking like a soldier and something went wrong. And so Luthen's like, but you gotta be a leader. Like, you gotta be better than just that. You have to be more than just that because you are influential. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm inferring from just that short exchange is that something happens. Cassian's like, I did what that was right. I'm being a soldier. And he's like, no, man, like, cool your jets. You need to be a leader
Yeah,
instead of that.
well, it was really nice to see Cassian stand up to Luthen.
Yeah.
There were the scenes in episode 4 and season 1 where he doesn't really argue with Luthen. He just kind of, takes whatever he has to says and takes whatever he has to say, and he doesn't really argue back. So now Cassian is standing up for himself. He's not letting, not that he let people walk all over him, but he's not ashamed.
He's coming into his own now.
Yeah, he's not ashamed of anything anymore. He fought back again,
Yeah.
radicalization. But back to the TIE Interceptor. Yeah, Cassian was flying it, so kind of leads into
I'm
the, or kind of
why
connects to
do they?
the, yeah, who knows? But Cassian can fly anything, literally. He can fly
Yeah.
basically a storage unit of a ship through a hurricane of light. He can fly a TIE interceptor. He can fly the Bondar or whatever. He can fly a U-wing. He's crazy. That man
He
is
is
crazy.
crazy. And it makes me wonder why they need a TIE interceptor. I mean, obviously he's going to do some spying stuff. Like, why would they need one? And some people probably will throw this out there too, but like TIE interceptors, as they were produced and as they were manufactured and as they were improved upon, there was prototypes of them that had hyperdrives. And the TIE interceptor on its own is a very formidable ship. And so to have that with also a hyperdrive is pretty dangerous. And so depending on what part of the timeline this is in, it could make sense that the rebellion stole one of them, or they need one to get into a top secret place. Who knows? Maybe that TIE interceptor has clearance codes to a secret science project of the Empire. Who knows? Who knows what they're
Yeah, I
trying
don't
to do with
know.
that ship? But they definitely probably need it to infiltrate someplace. And then I'm like, well, where are they infiltrating? So
Yeah. Really interesting for them to choose an I a TIE interceptor when there was the right before we were recording, we saw that Intok Merrick talked about it in the Rebel Files, which I think they
yeah.
definitely had to have referenced. I don't know. Also, when I was looking at the Wikipedia page when I was figuring out which one it was, they're called squints, probably because they go so fast.
Yeah,
You
yeah,
squint. I don't know. I thought that was cool.
yeah.
Squints. It'll be cool to see if maybe they like do the really small, say small stuff like that. That That's like really, you have to dig for that type of lore. I don't know.
I would love that. That would tickle me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, and it's cool that Bix seems to be involved in that caper.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's kind of no avoiding bringing it up because it was all over the timeline when D23 happened in California. But yeah, she was seen with Cassian in that same red suit. So we won't get too much into that because, you know, nobody was supposed to be recording that. But
Yeah.
yeah, it was cool to see. It's and she does say like we need a pilot, so we'll see. I don't know. Well, lastly, in that trailer teaser, I don't want to call it a trailer. We got Krennic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Krennic.
I the last shot I remember is Cassian walking across Yavin 4's tarmac, but
Oh yeah. Okay, we'll talk about Yavin 4 after because I feel
okay.
like that's a good place to lead into like our final thoughts and prediction.
But Krennic, our
Yeah.
boy Ben Mendelsohn is
The
back.
ultimate diva. The does Rogue One die?
I posted about this on the timeline a little bit, and I have posted in the past about how excited I am for Denise Gough. How do you say her
Goff.
last
I
name?
think that's a
Gough.
very
Okay. So
Irish
Denise
last Scottish.
Gough and Kyle Soller, how so funny they were in interviews together for the last season. But I would love if they would have Denise Gough and Ben Mendelsohn doing interviews together. I feel like that's just a recipe for the most delicious chaos. I feel like they'd be so funny. So I'm already like, please, Star Wars, do this for us, please. But and it would make sense if they were interviewing Krennic and Dedra together. So
Yeah, which makes me feel like they'll probably, not to guess like the press junket partnerships, but I feel like Diego will be with Adria and Kyle will be with somebody. It could be the trio like they did with Adria, Denise, and Kyle, but it could be Kyle, Denise, and Ben. I don't
that
know.
would be
Oh, you know
fan.
what? They probably won't do Diego and Adria. They'll probably do Diego and Alan, which means
Yeah,
that
yeah.
it could be Adria and Kyle, and then it could be Denise and Ben.
Oh, I would love actually any combination of all of
Yeah,
them
I
together
know. It's like
would
putting
be.
like little Barbie dolls together.
Well, and I feel like at this point we're just gonna get it's just gonna be great no matter what. Like I love them all, so any combination will make me happy. Ben with anyone made me happy, but yeah, it just makes me so excited, and it's cool that his introduction really drives it home that hey, Rogue One's coming. Hey, the Death Star is coming. He's here.
I know.
He's yeah. I'm hoping so badly that we get a reference because it's relevant to Krennic and what he's doing at the time. I so hope we get a reference to him being pissed off about Thrawn's TIE fighter manufacturing because that was a huge deal. Like they were butting heads. Like he was mad at him and Tarkin.
Yeah.
So either his issues with Tarkin being brought up or his issues with Thrawn in any way referenced, because I feel like this is something he would be mad about. Like I think this is something that he'd be gabbing about in any
Yeah.
scene. He would
Yeah.
be upset. So I would love to see that. Just even the most smallest throwaway reference.
Yeah.
Anything. Any
Well,
little blip would be great.
he's a big he's not a big character, but he's a notable character in the 2017 through however many years that trilogy took to come out. Was it treason or a no, but definitely wasn't alliances, it was treason when Krennic was in there, but yeah, so I or was it? I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be
Yeah,
cool.
it was. Well,
Don't
and the other
know.
thing too is when you think of Krennic, when he has anything to do beyond How we see him in Rogue One, like he is always pitted against Tarkin. So if we get no Thrawn reference, we'll get, I feel like we're going to get some sort of Tarkin reference coupled with Krennic's, any of Krennic's appearances in Andor, because it just makes sense. If we don't, whatever. But I feel like there's a good chance.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so much. It's so much, period. Full stop. Like, it's just so much.
We're definitely gonna most likely, probably, maybe get a Galen Erso
Oh yeah.
reference in some. We have to, because that's who they're looking for, that they want to
Yeah.
contact at the beginning
Well,
of Rogue One.
I
So
want
he's.
to. Yeah, not to interrupt you. I want to acknowledge that when we talk about our final thoughts and predictions, because that's a massive can of worms that I'm prepared to open.
Yeah.
If
Okay. Sorry,
the
I'm getting ahead of
listeners are
ourselves.
ready
I'm
to listen,
so
I know. Let's keep
excited.
talking about current. Okay, so one of the other things that released in the big news weekend was Mon, Cassian, and Krennic are cover girls. Hot new bombshells that entered the Villa. Villa.
Villa.
My Spanish tongue wants to say Villa. So Empire Magazine dropped, and I know it's like a beautiful rendition of Yavin, but getting Yavin 4 on the cover of a magazine again was pretty wild. I'm like,
Yeah.
did we take a time machine back to 2016? I mean, our Rogue One era again? Where's
We
Felicity
are.
Jones? Where is Riz Ahmed? So we got the Empire magazine, and it gave us two little snippets of a much bigger article that we'll be getting when the magazine drops. But there were some pretty notable quotes. I know you had just looked at them right before we started recording, but they did an interview with Ben Mendelsohn, and they did an interview with our boy Diego Luna. So, yeah, whichever one you want to bring up first.
Okay, the big one that shocked me was, I think it was Diego saying Cassian is someone who has to ascend. There's a huge
Yeah.
mountain for him to climb
Yeah, what that
in
was
order
wrong
to be
of
the guy we
him.
meet in Rogue One. I'm traumatized now by the word climb and anything to do with having to rise above in terms of Cassian. Yeah, that was pretty sickening of him to do that to us. And then I think the other quote was about him and K2. He was saying, from an audience perspective, they've probably made their own story about how Cassian and K2 got to work together. It tells you a lot about Cassian that his best friend is a droid, and a droid he had to reprogram.
I mean, that part makes sense to me, even just because of season one with B2. Like, Cassian grew up with B2, so it's like honestly him going back to his roots in a way. But yeah, I don't think I've never, I'm just gonna throw the word headcanon out there. I've never headcanoned Cassian to be like a lonely guy. And I feel like that was kind of proven in season one. Like, he's filled with people who love him, like Marva and Bix and Brasso and Jezzy, and I'm forgetting the guy who runs the
Pegla?
Pegla and
Yeah.
his freaking dogs, excuse for dogs, hounds. But yeah, Cassian has been surrounded by people his whole life. Were they his, blood? No, but I don't think that matters. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Strikes me as somebody who is everything you're saying, that he has all these people who care about him, but I think he sometimes doesn't realize that, or doesn't fully accept it, or doesn't. I'm not saying that he takes it for granted, but I think he just, in some cases, doesn't realize just the depths that people care about him. And I wonder if it's because he doesn't think that he's worth caring about, or that he's messed up too much to that for them to have forgiven him or to keep giving him chances. That's the kind of
Yeah.
person I feel like he is. So I can understand him trying to separate himself from people, even if they care about him.
Yeah.
But he might be like, I got to remove myself from them, because or distance myself from them and choose a safer option, which would be a droid.
Yeah.
Not only for himself, but for those people as well. Is that healthy? Probably not. But that's the kind of vibe I get from him. Like, I don't think, like you're saying, I don't think he's just some person that nobody likes or that he's all on his own, but I think he makes himself be on his own sometimes. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know, girl.
he it's not you know, Cassian's a flawed person. I think every character has their flaws. And you know, Cassian could be considered an isolationist. Like we see that in literally the first episode where he's not staying at his mom's house, he's staying in her old ship. So it's like, I don't know. And droids are, I guess, a lot safer to be around because they don't die as easily as humans do. You know, he lost his dad, he lost Clem. So I maybe having K2 around, it's like he has that safety net where it's like if anything happens to K2, at least I can fix him. Or he doesn't have these opinions of me, so I can mess up as many times as I want and he won't have to forgive me, or he won't have to feel sorry for me, or he won't judge
Yeah.
me. So it's like the first person, and I'm saying person, but because I don't want to call K2 a droid, but it's like the first figure, I guess, in Cassian's life that probably won't judge him because, you know, people love you, but they'll ultimately judge you. And I think while the people in Cassian's life love him, like they were disappointed by him. And I don't
He
think
was tired of
Cassian,
disappointing people.
yeah. So I think that having somebody who couldn't really feel anything towards him, like not even love or sorrow, it just made Cassian feel safe.
Oh, my heart is like,
Yeah.
ugh.
But I feel like the K2 in Rogue One, he slaps Cassian, he apologizes. So I think that there is a not a love because K2 can't love, but a care, like he cares about this guy. He's been
And I
through a
think,
lot with him.
yeah, and I think that's going to surprise Cassian that
Me too.
K2 ha develops this personality, because that's not what he, and he's going to become friends with him almost begrudgingly, probably. He ends up caring about him in return in a way that he hasn't been able to care about other people because of all the reasons we've stated. And I think it's going to be a really fun and unique thing, like a that. Where Cassian can probably explore caring about somebody in a way that he didn't care about other people,
Yeah.
like
Well,
friendship-wise.
what makes me wonder is that if K2's personality is kind of a clean slate, and then all of the personality that he gets is from like people they meet or directly from Cassian, because Cassian, you know, probably talks to himself when they're alone or like gets frustrated with things and makes snide comments, and then K2 kind of learns, kind of like a kid when they're be like they're in the developmental stage. It's like you think they're not listening, but they are. And
Yeah.
they're learning all of these things and these mannerisms from their parents. Not to say that Cassian is K2's dad, but like
A
definitely, you know, K2 now has
mentor.
this newfound freedom and this ability to formulate a personality that's not just like kill and arrest and hurt. It's like, oh, I can kind of explore what I can become. And that would be so funny if Cassian is like this sassy guy all by himself, and he's talking to himself. And K2's like little snide comments in Rogue One will suddenly make way more sense. Like, I can survive in space. I can survive. I can just imagine Cassian like leaving the room after talking to Draven and going alone somewhere and being like, that guy doesn't know anything. Like, I know more than him. I've been in this way longer than him, which isn't the truth. Draven's definitely been in the military longer than Cassian, but
I would love all of these things. I would love to see it, and I feel like we're gonna get that. I feel like
yeah.
we're gonna get some combination of all these thoughts and ideas that we have for what they're gonna be like together. And I love that we don't know yet. I love the
Yeah.
wondering. I love the wondering, and then the surprise of like, were we right or not?
Yeah, there's a really beautiful aspect of this story that we can predict all that we want, but we could ultimately be very wrong in the end. And I'm totally okay with that because there was a lot that I predicted with Andor season one that I was very wrong about. Notably, that I remember and I'm a little embarrassed about is that I thought that Cassian was a really bad pilot. And one of the main character traits of Cassian is that he's an excellent pilot. So, yeah, I was really happy to be wrong about that one. So,
Yeah.
I feel like we can now talk about, well, Yavin. Let's go to Yavin because we get that one shot of Cassian walking across the tarmac and he's wearing his Rings of Kafrine jacket, all allegedly. Allegedly. It
What
has
do you mean
a
allegedly? It's the same jacket.
That's the thing is that it's not the same jacket. Like it has a
No.
very similar design, but it's not the exact same jacket. But it is
If
a
it's not the
very.
exact same, really?
I know. Well, look at the.
It's got the, well,
Look at his arm. Look at his biceps in the one
okay.
on Rogue One. That's definitely the same shirt from Scarif.
The shirt he dies in.
Somebody, I think it was Mo, she was like, Cassian, take that shirt off, you're gonna die in it. Okay,
That
but
makes me want to throw up.
it makes sense. Like these are uniforms, not to be the
Oh,
boring.
okay.
Yeah, like these are you like they had uniforms, so it makes sense for him to be wearing clothes that we've seen him in before. But
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's got that little dangly thing and like the
Yeah,
other
but look at
thingy.
the
I don't know.
biceps. I'm playing devil's advocate in a way because it would be really cool if that was the Rings of Khafrin jacket. And yeah, so well, Tony said that the last shot in Andor season two would be Cassian walking across the tarmac, getting on the ship to go meet Tivik at Rings of Khafrin. So I don't think they would show us the last shot in the show, but that's probably
I feel like they
definitely.
might.
Yeah, I feel like they probably could, but that's the thing. Like, if he's not wearing that shirt in, that means that that poor man did not take a shower. He just zipped up the Rings of Khafrin jacket. He got back to Yavin 4. He put on his captain's jacket. Then he put his vest on with the parka, and then he got wet in all those outfits because he was in the captain's jacket when he was fighting. This is crazy. My brain is crazy. He was fighting with Jin in the wet captain's outfit, and then he gets back to base, still wearing that stinky jacket on Scarif, and then he just puts the. Oh my God! That's why Jin said that he smelled so bad in the novelization. She said he smelled like
Yeah.
dirt. He's stinky. He's a stinky
She
boy.
probably didn't smell much better. I mean, girl,
No,
she doesn't
well.
have to talk. She
No,
didn't change
well,
out of her prison outfit.
no. Oh, she must have stunk. Real lovers stink and don't get bothered by it. That's how you know they were real lovers, is that they hugged and they probably like smelled so bad. She says it in the novelization. She's like, this guy stinks. He smells bad. She doesn't say it so mean, but okay, last thing, but that's. I mean, at that time, it was not Jin's blaster, but that is Jin's blaster.
On his hip, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know.
He carried, what is it, the saying? He carried her hope with him. She carried
Yeah.
him. Oh, dear God.
I hope they give us like a little like, where'd he get that blaster kind of moment, because they kind
Yeah,
of
that'd
did
be
that.
cool.
I mean, the blaster, like what he was carrying as a weapon, was kind of significant in the first season. They were like, here's his blaster, and it would
Oh,
show
the
a bit
dad,
like,
yeah.
you could track like whose it was, what he was carrying. So I would love a fun little backstory for that blaster to add even more weight to the fact that Cassie was like, yeah, you can just keep it.
Yeah, well, that means we're gonna see him lose his dad's blaster. I think it would be really, really poignant if he gave it to Willman.
Yeah,
Because I
I
think
agree.
that they're foils of each other in a way. Cassian losing his dad and becoming the man that we see in season one, and then Willman losing his dad and becoming the man that we'll see in season two. Because at the trailer that was at Celebration, he was pretty heavily featured in it, and he
Yeah.
was, at what I'm assuming is the same massacre that we saw in this teaser that was officially released by Disney Plus. So I don't know. I think that'd be really, really cool if Cassian was like, "You take it. You
Yeah.
protect yourself with it."
Yeah. Yeah.
Means
Oh my
Cassian's
God.
legacy will always be carried on, or Clem's legacy, I guess, because it's
Yeah.
Cassian.
Another thing I think would be interesting on the topic of blasters is, doesn't Melshi have what was Cyril's
He has
blaster now?
Cyril's blaster. He
It would be
does.
very
He
interesting if
does.
they cross paths or meet at some point and he's like, wait, that's
So
mine.
I know that everyone wants.
Oh, wait,
Oh,
hold on,
I'll
just
let you
one
have
second.
that thought. Okay, I'm holding
Okay,
mine.
what if it's so crazy where, like, so Cyril knows that Cassian took his blaster? That is a fact. What if Cyril comes across Melshi and Melshi's not like openly, I'm a rebel in this moment? But then Cyril sees that Melshi has his blaster and he's like, makes the dots connect in his brain. He's like, how did he get my blaster? How did he get that? Who
Yeah.
has a blaster? Who took? I lost my blaster to Cassian Andor. So does he have something to do with Cassian Andor? And like, it would be so
Yeah.
interesting if we have like a Cyril connecting the dots moment, like his two brain cells like sparking together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like this the Spider-Man meme. Well,
Yeah.
to go kind of off of that thought, I feel like a lot of people want Kallus in Andor, and I don't feel like it's so far out of the picture, but I feel like Cyril is supposed to be the Kallus of the show. Like Rebels had Kallus, and I think that Cyril is supposed to be like the Kallus figure, I guess. Does that make sense,
Yeah.
what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. That does make sense. And I would love it. It would make sense to have Kallus referenced in some way in Andor, especially the back end episodes, considering that he is like an undercover character and that's who Cassian is, and Cyril might be as well, hopefully crossing our fingers he's defects. With all that, I feel like it would make sense if Kallus was mentioned. I feel like they could find a way to reference him and it would be okay. I'd be sad if he wasn't, but if he isn't, that's okay because we have Cyril. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. I do think that this is a great place to lead into like our final thoughts and predictions, especially because one of my biggest predictions about season two is that Cyril is going to defect from the Empire. Like, I do think that that's going to be a big story for him, whether he survives it or whether he doesn't. I do think that he is not fit out to be an Imperial. He is not shown appreciation from the people in the Empire, and that includes his mother. And I do think that people like Cassian and Mon Mothma and Melshi would be the type of people to acknowledge his successes, I think. And I do think that in the celebration trailer that I saw, that Cassian was standing with Cyril in one of the shots. Like, I do think that they were doing a mission together.
I'm choosing to believe because it all signs to me point to him defecting, and I feel like it would be, here's the word again, poignant if he did. I feel like we will be validated.
I do too.
I just wanted to touch on the fact because I was just looking through the other bits and pieces that we have. The Empire magazine 2025 preview had a couple stills from the next season, and one of them was Cassian in his pilot outfit.
Oh,
And he's kind of bent over in this certain position, a certain lighting, and it mirrors the still that we got of Jin when
Jin.
Rogue One was first being like previewed and debuted. She's in her Imperial outfit, and so then Cassian's in his, disguise outfit, and they just mirror each other so perfectly. And yeah, someone had to have thought of that. Actually, I think it was our
Our good friend
your
Tally.
well, yes, sure, they pointed that out to us. And but the person who took the picture of Cassian, I think that person does the set pictures.
Oh, yes.
I
Yes.
think that person took that picture of Cassian.
He did,
So I'm
yeah.
sure he was thinking about, I feel like he would be the one
He
to be
did.
like, this is the same. Like he did that
Yeah.
for us. He
He's
did
a
that for
great,
us.
yeah, he's a great photographer. A
What's his
really
name
great
again?
photographer. His name
Is
is
it
Des
Des?
Willey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Shout
Really
out to
cool
Des
guy.
Willey.
Yeah.
We see what you did there, sir. Another thing, just one last thing I wanted to touch on was that Nicholas Britell, shout out Tally again. Just we're shouting out Tally because we know this
She's
is
mentioned a
we
lot in our
know
podcast.
Tally, we know Tally loves this. Nicholas Britell is returning to score the second season. And apparently it's going to be inspired by the Rogue One soundtrack.
Yeah, that was he said that a
Oh
couple
my.
he said that a couple months ago, but people don't know that he's returning. I saw some people who were like, "Oh, who's coming back or who's scoring that Andor?" And I was like, "It's Nicholas Britell, baby."
And it makes sense, obviously, that like he would be inspired by the Rogue One soundtrack, but it's just on top of I want to make the connection to the fact that what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode with the name change, A Star Wars Story. So it just even further melds season two and Rogue One together to use the motifs from Rogue One in the second
Yeah.
season. So
Yeah, it'll be intense. Nicholas Britell
it
really
will
knows how
be.
to shove a knife right into your heart and then twist it and then wiggle it around and then take it out so you can bleed out
Yeah.
and die. Yeah, he
Yeah.
absolutely knows how to do that.
Exactly.
I have a prediction that,
Ooh, I'd love to hear it.
yeah, it's about Milshi,
Tell
of
me.
course. Okay, so I think that he started off as a partisan.
Ooh, so like after he escapes
Yes.
from what's the planet?
Niamos.
Nyamos,
Yeah, I want to say
after
it the
he
way
goes
Cassian
with
does, where he goes like, Niamos?
Nyamos.
Niamos? But yeah, I think that that's how him and Cassian meet up again. And I think that that's how, like, they have intel on Jyn. Maybe. I don't know. I know that Jyn, like, was not a part of the Partisans at this point. Like, she was well already gone. But I don't think that that means that Saw Gerrera didn't talk about her.
Was she like 30? No, she was like
She was
16.
16 when
She
he
was
left her.
16. How
On
many,
that.
and then how, and how old was she when she died?
She was 21.
So she would have left the Partisans right
She's
before
21,
Andor.
21 or 22, yeah.
So right before
Yeah.
season one of Andor, she would have left the Partisans because it's 5 years?
Yeah.
Or
Yes.
maybe it was around the same time. I don't know. But
I don't know. I don't think they're gonna touch anything about Jin's story. I just think that she's gonna be used, like her name.
well, yeah. It would be cool
Yeah.
if, yeah, like you said, he heard about Jin from, or that he heard that there was somebody. But like,
Well, Melshi yells out Lyanna Halleck. He doesn't yell out Jyn Erso. And
so he,
they had already
yeah.
known her name in the rebellion. Well, because Draven uses her name against her. He's like, Jyn Erso. They already knew it. But he calls out Lyanna Halleck. Yeah.
I am so excited for them to like piece the dots together and be like, she was this, had this alias, and then she had this alias, but
Oh,
she's really this
yeah.
person because of
When
this, like.
I'm not trying to be sassy, savvy. It would make less sense to not bring up Jyn and Galen than it would to bring up Jyn and Galen. Be I think
Like,
I
they're
said that
so
right.
pivotal.
They're literally the reason why Rogue One is Rogue One. It's like literally why Cassian goes on this. Like, it,
So
yeah.
those last three episodes is going to be all about them figuring out that Galen Erso is a person that they should, a person of interest that they should be looking into. And I'm sure that Saw and or somebody connected to Saw or somebody who knows about Galen is telling somebody in the rebellion about him.
Oh yeah.
And then they're like, they were a family and there was a wife and a daughter. And
Oh
what happened
yeah.
to them? I don't know. We need to find them. Somebody
Yeah.
knows about
It leads into the thing that I said during season one where Cassian not Cassian or Melshi is that she's Mossa because when he was sitting on the top bunk listening to everybody's conversations but not saying anything, like I think that he's a better listener than people think that he might be.
Yes. And
Chismosa. Sorry. But yeah.
well, and so going, I want you to, if you have any more to expand on your idea about Melshi being the one to tell the rebellion, possibly about Jin, or just kind of have any information.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's the Rebel Files where Cassian has, all of those side notes about he's like, this is Jyn Erso, these are all of her aliases, like blah blah blah. I think that Melshi being part of the Partisans like makes sense because at the end of episode 11, he's like, we have to tell people. And who better to tell than Saw Gerrera and his people? So
Well, and that's one reason why they even got Jin was that they needed Jin to go talk to Saw.
exactly. So I just
So,
feel like
like,
that
they
makes a lot of
know.
sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so they know that there's some connection happening there. Ooh, I can't wait to see them put the dots together.
I know. And Melshi has militaristic background, I'm assuming. Oh, I kind of hope we find out why he was even in the prison in the first place. I don't want to move on from that quite yet. I want to know that, but somebody needs
Hopefully.
to ask Duncan Powell. Why do you think Melshi was in the? I think Melshi was there. Let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think there will be a big heavy lead on Melshi probably towards the end of the season. I don't think he's going to be anywhere near the beginning. I don't think he's going to be in any of the beginning arcs. Hopefully I'm
Yeah.
wrong. I'll do anything for more Melshi, but I think it's probably going to be towards the end.
I feel like the third and fourth arc.
Yeah, that's when our guy will be ready to rumble, I think. I don't know. I don't really have a lot of other predictions that we haven't already said. I think Melshi is probably my biggest one. Cyril defecting is my biggest one. Another one that I thought of was Dedra being stationed on the Death Star.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of
Oh.
an interesting thing, especially because Ben Mendelsohn was kind of implying that him and Dedra don't see eye to eye. So I think that would be a really interesting thing if she gets stationed there. And ultimately, that ends up being her demise. Like, she's gonna die.
That would be interesting. I could see her trying to wheedle her way into Krennic's business, and that's how she gets there. Like she's
Yeah.
trying to rise in the ranks, and he's having to deal put up with her.
Yeah.
I could see that being the case. I could
She
also see. Oh,
literally, sorry, I interrupted you. She literally F's around and finds out.
ahead. Exactly. I think also because of the new like restrictions or the new like the crackdown and the more power that was given to the ISB because of Cassian. And how we see the ripple effects of that actually in Rebels with how Kallus is stationed on Lothal as an agent there. That was a new precedent being set. ISB agents didn't do that before. Like they didn't have that power. So I could see that if Dedra gets the same kind of power as an ISB officer as Kallus has, like how he did on Lothal. And I would wonder then where she would be kind of stationed or her, where she would insert herself in that way. But I am very interested to find out, this isn't a theory, but I'm really interested to find out what Cyril is going to be doing the entire time. Like we're like, oh, Cyril will defect, but he's not even a fully fledged Imperial officer. Like he's just some guy really right now, honestly. Like he's
He
not more
works a
well
desk job, yeah.
he's just some guy. So like what will he be defecting from? What's the situation going to be for him? I think that's the something that I'm most interested to find out because we have all these ideas or assumptions, but when we really look at it, we're like, wait, what is even this guy going to be doing? What like
I don't know. It'd be really interesting to see. It's a fascinating story. I don't want to get too much into like Vel and Cinta and Brasso because we haven't seen enough clips of them.
Yeah.
But I do hope that they make it out as well.
I feel like it's 50-50.
Me too. And that's really scary. I don't want it to be 50-50. I'm really comfortable with like 80-20, but I think that it's 50-50. Luthen, I don't think is making it out. I don't
That
think
man's
Luthen is.
dying.
Yeah,
That
he's
man is
dead.
dying. Rest in peace, Muthan. We are sorry. Are we?
Also, I can't take this I can't take credit for this one, but Emily had a really great prediction that Clea is a fulcrum agent for the rebellion.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I liked that. That was good.
I feel like she is more than the she's more than the assistant to Luthen. There's more to her than what we've seen
Oh,
her.
yeah. I think she's going behind his back.
Yeah.
100%. She totally outsmarts him, I think. And I think that Clea and Cassian will meet. You know, there's a couple of thoughts that the Fondor is K2, but I don't know. I think that K2 is just some random KX series droid that Cassian's like, oh, I really need to live. Yeah, I don't know. I think that we could get references to the ghost crew, but I don't think we'll see any of them. I don't think so at all. I think that with Mon Mothma after the Gorman massacre being escorted by the ghost crew, like that's not a wild guess. But I also don't think that people should get their hopes up so much where they're gonna like throw in Hera, like Ahsoka Hera. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
They threw in Mon into Ahsoka.
I think that actually of any of them, I think that that's the like a I'm not going to say it's a guarantee that we're going to see Hera, but I feel like I would not be surprised in the slightest, especially because of that point you just made, that Mon Mothma,
Yeah.
Genevieve is in like all these
Oh,
other
that
shows.
means Cassian will have met Hera.
I would absolutely die. I feel
I
like we're just
know.
every second of this show, every second of season two, we're just going to be screaming. It's just going to be one long scream
I
every
know.
episode.
That means Cassian will have met Hera Sabine.
He has to have met Hera.
Oh,
Like,
100%.
Cassian Andor has met Hera Syndulla. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
That's his best friend. Like, they're
Yeah.
besties. But
Yeah.
Sabine and Cassian is always something that I've loved the idea of. I've loved the idea of that.
Maybe we will see it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, I would love Zeb. Someone bring Zeb out. Zeb and Cassian.
Especially because it's Steve Plum.
Oh my gosh.
I don't
I
know.
but I feel like I it's so but like the Rebels crew went to Yavin when it was like they went in the most earliest of days. They were there. Like they were there. That was their home too. So
Well, yeah,
like
we see that in Rebels, so
and
also
Rogue like
in Rogue One they
Rogue
call, they're
One.
like Hera Syndulla too. Yeah,
There she's
she was heavily pregnant.
she is gonna be in this. I know it, guys. I know it. She has to be like and
I
like
don't know. I'm leaning more towards I
don't
don't think so, but I don't know. It would be a
I'm ha
really,
hope.
really, really
Hope.
great and special addition, but I'm not gonna hold like I don't know. I don't know if Tony Gilroy would do that, but
I feel like he would do this for us.
would
I
he?
feel,
I
well,
don't
okay,
know.
so this is what I think he would be like. He's gonna be like, guys, who was at Yavin 4? Like, who, what is the cast of characters that are at Yavin 4 during this time? And they'll be like, oh, sir, it's this, and this. And he'll be like, okay, cool. Like, who's the big shots on Yavin 4 during this time? I feel like Tony Gilroy would at least ask that. And then the Lucasfilm group would be like, boy, do we have some news for you. And then they'd tell him, and then he'd be like, sure, okay. I don't I
We've
say I
got
don't know.
a whole family for you to throw in this show.
I mean, Draven's coming back.
Hopefully his boyfriend does
So,
too.
Antok Merrick, please.
There's a prediction.
Please.
They will kiss in season
Please.
two.
Yeah, you know how they said they had an intimacy coordinator for season two? It's for
Wasn't for Bell and
them.
Cinta. It wasn't for any of the fight scenes. It wasn't for Bix and Cassian. It was for Antok and Draven.
Yes.
Old man Yowie.
Yes. I feel
Would
like
love
we
to
need a
see
little
it.
bit of that. We need a little bit of that at Yavin 4.
Yavin 4 needs a little bit of old man Yowie. Well, I think that's a good place to end our final predictions and thoughts, unless you have anything else. I don't. When we get
I could.
closer and we get more trailer footage,
Oh,
definitely more. This won't be the last
yeah.
time we'll talk about it until then, but we have a long time to make a lot of predictions and have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, I'm just so happy that we got all this recently, and we have things to hold near and dear to our hearts and still until our eyeballs lay eyes upon the premiere, the
Oh,
episodes
yeah.
themselves.
Yeah.
Ah, it feels good. It feels right to be talking about Andor again
I
with
know. I
our 2 years past.
just said on our Blue Sky, because now we have Blue Sky, I said we're recording an episode of our podcast and we're talking about Andor. I said we're passionate about a lot of things in Star Wars, but we definitely thrive so much talking about this show and Rogue One, which I
Yeah.
think is definitely the truth.
It is. I'm
So,
so excited.
yeah. All right.
But we'll see you guys next time. I don't know what we're gonna be talking about next, but I'll tell you what we just talked about. We just talked about Tears of the Nameless with our friend Jacob. So if you haven't watched that episode, please do.
Was a fun one to
please
edit. There was a couple
please
of
do
times
that.
where I was laughing, yeah. Also, we'll be reviewing Mace Windu, The Glass Abyss.
Yes.
Thank you again to Random House Worlds for sending us the advanced copy. That was really special for us, and we're very thankful. So we
Yes,
can't wait to
yes.
review it. But as I said earlier, we're on Blue Sky now. So I'm under the same at, so at Andorisms. I actually just made us a link tree, so it would be easier to find all of our socials, but that'll be posted when we drop this episode. But I'm at Andorisms on everything: TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky, because I'm chronically online talking about Star Wars. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like I need to change my Instagram handle to at a cosmic love now because I so then I could be the same, so I could have all the same. I wouldn't have to keep telling people different names. But I am at Rebel Risen on Instagram and also I believe TikTok, which I'm kind of on off on that. And then I am at a cosmic love on Twitter and Blue Sky.
Where the skies are bluer and
Yeah,
better.
it is.
Me
I'm loving it so far.
too.
So
It's a good community.
if you're on the fence, I would highly recommend. It's been great so far, so.
Yeah. It's Gold Rush, so inviting. I almost jump in. All right. And then you can find our podcast on Blue Sky at Stardust Records with the O. With the O. And on Twitter and Instagram without the O at Stardust Records. But we'll see you next time for another episode of Stardust Records. Said it a lot in once. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.